Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best. Where the paranormal is normal. Where that which you thought you knew, you didn't. And where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone. I'm Stuart Best. We got Larry on with us tonight. Hi, Larry. How are you doing?
Hey, Stuart. Thanks for having me.
I was thinking about where do we start? There's so much news going on. Why don't we start with this Munich thing? I was going to maybe start with the Watchers 10 review because you've seen it, and I haven't got my copy yet. But the last word I had on Munich was 9 dead and a bunch of people wounded. Have you got any update on that at all? I mean, it seems like global chaos. And that they've really started this in earnest now.
Oh, that's very true. We're having something all over the world, it's so interesting that especially the EU and America. It seems like the leadership of those two locations are pretty much trying to ignore this situation. But I heard some rather interesting diplomatic people talking today, and they indicated that that it appears that those that stay in the EU will go down into civil war, and that this immigrant thing was nothing but an invasion, basically, of cultures that will not mix, and now the governments of the EU. Which they're even finding, they don't even have the each one of the EU members don't even now have a well-defined military or police force to even handle this. If you listen really closely, Munich, that's Germany, of course, today, and the last I heard was 9 dead or 10 dead, and they thought it was one shooter, but they were searching for some more, and they were calling help in from different countries. Well, I say different countries. It's all the EU, but like from Austria, and the interesting thing was when somebody said, "Well, why don't we lock? If we could lock the borders down, we can hold them, catch them." There are no borders. There are no border posts. There are no borders, gates or stops to people. And this is just a total reflection on what I saw Trump talking about last night about open borders the last few years, including the Bushes. Have brought in to the American continent the very same thing, open borders, and I heard, of course, Obama came out today with his race to the White House, I guess carrying Hillary Clinton on his shoulders, and was talking with the Mexican president about what all these dark sayings that Trump was saying about the borders and all of this. And then right off the bat, you've got one in Munich right away that says, I think you can tell who's telling the truth just by the events that are occurring.
I'm not sure the American people want the truth. When I look at these polls, and of course they can spin polls any way they want, but when you see Hillary, almost equivalent, 43%, 44%, like they had on Fox News the other night, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, what has gone wrong with the? I mean, are the American people at this point communists? Are they by and large Marxists, where they get free handouts and that's it, and they don't care about anything else? When Trump talks about the old America, basically, and I'm not saying he's going to do anything. Because I'm not sure who Donald Trump really is, but getting back to what you were saying about a worldwide invasion, this is, of course, I believe, what the New World Order wants, isn't it? Don't they want Albert Pike in his Third World War was basically Islam against Christianity and Judaism. And out of the ruins of that was to emerge the Luciferianism. So it seems like go ahead.
I was just going to say, with what you asked, the question, isn't that what they want? What, you know, a lot of what people are not seeing, I posted yesterday, I think it was, maybe this morning, all my days run together, but I posted where there's a big influx of refugees, or migrants, as they would call them, trying to flood through Turkey right now, trying to go into Greece and to the EU, and guess where they're from? And we're not even hearing this on the news. They're coming from Pakistan because Pakistan is about to go into a civil war of its own and having a total meltdown. And a lot of the Pakistanis are fleeing Pakistan for Europe. So, and you know, there again is your culture. The cultures will not mix. And, you know, I don't know that, Stuart, I myself, just like you said, I don't, you know, I just can't understand why the peoples of the Western powers, all the peoples, the population of the West, cannot understand that you know, maybe it is a delusion, Stuart. Maybe the delusion is so big, even on that end, that the people are just blind to it, and they're, you know, maybe they're picking, you know how you've seen somebody pick a flyer. He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, loves me not. Well, we don't know yet. We're still picking the flower petals.
Well, we know that Hillary loves us. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sweet Hillary, the gentle dove of the New World Order, she loves everybody. All you got to do is ask her. Donald, they say, is, well, here, let me get into some of what he actually did say. It was an interesting speech, actually, what he gave. Okay, the first thing he talked about really was America first, that in all matters he would make decisions based upon what America's best interests were. And, of course, the New World Order has different plans because national sovereignty is out. So just on that basis alone, if Donald Trump is for real, how's he ever going to get beyond maybe being elected, if he even gets that far? I mean, the New World Order boys and girls have spent billions and billions of dollars, hundreds of years, literally, trying to very slowly bring America into a communist Marxist police state, and they're using ISIS, of course, and Islam to do it. And actually, people should Google Islam versus Nazism. They'd get some surprises there. But what's your take on, you know, he's coming right out and actually kind of like John Kennedy, who gave a speech about the mystery religions and secret societies and how we were totally against that. And he didn't last very long. How is Trump going to last very long? I mean, these guys play for keeps. So we have two choices. Trump.
We've looked into that, and you've had people give you some prophetic utterances about some of the same thing, and you know, we know that we're in a very dangerous time, that Trump is in a very dangerous position, and so is his family. We understand that. You know, the interesting thing is, you know, as I've said before, and I'll say it one more time, though, how bad does Obama want to hold on to power in this country rather than go to the UN, which he really does have his eyes set on? He desires that. That's what he really wants, is the UN. But will he go ahead and maybe stay and we have a false flag or an event, you know, whether it's terrorists, so-called, or related, or maybe civil war in the streets of America, or, you know, all these things are prophesied, the breakup of the U.S. Something seems to happen down the road that causes some states to go together and band against Washington, and they're their own nation state. You know, the Norwegian prophets saw that. Let me read you something really interesting here, okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was gleaning Barry Rothman's data, and he had just, because of the speeches that Pence and Trump had made, he did a quick Torah code on that, and he entitled it Trump Picks Pence, is how he entitled his Torah code matrix. And there's five wordings here, and I'm going to name them. These are in the Torah codes. People can go back and look. They're in the Hebrew, in a Torah code that was written a long, long time before the 2016 election came up in America.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number one, Mike Pence. His name is there in the Torah codes. Next to his name is Trump. And this is an interesting one. Next to those is Joseph Lives. And number four, and he is ruler. And number five, in all the land of Egypt. Now, isn't that an intriguing Torah code written a long time ago?
So, would that then indicate a delay? Remember, we talked about that Trump might be causing a delay.
Well, this is what's interesting, Stuart, and I really thought about this. Suppose, and because you can't put when you read the Torah codes, you don't know all the words. I mean, you only get the ones you can recognize and put together on a Torah code matrix, and you're not sure really. Nobody's sure. That's why you can't use them prophetically ahead of events, basically, because you really don't know where they're going. One of the interesting things, though, is Mike Pence's name was first, and then Trump's. And then Joseph lives, and he is ruler, and all the land of Egypt. It don't say really, Mike, whether it's Pence or Trump that's really doing a lot of this. Is it possible that Trump actually is the disruptor, so to speak, or the wild card the Lord uses? And you know, maybe if we get a delay of any kind, it would be an election of unusual status. However. Because we know that the rich men are never going to stop their program. The New World Order is never going to stop what they're building, and they'll do anything to keep it. And you mentioned Don Kennedy earlier, and we know exactly what happened to him. Is it possible that, Trump wins, Pence is vice president, something happens to Trump, and then Pence becomes president, and that's our delay? Maybe, maybe not. You know, it depends. There's too many variables. You know, you've got Hillary in the mix. You've got the New World Order. How well do they want Hillary to rule? Well, Hillary's baggage, which it's almost like anywhere she goes now, she carries this invisible choo-choo train of baggage with her. Is because of that, will they choose to push Obama into doing something to cause a martial law situation and cancel the elections, and we don't even have the elections? There's a lot of variables, Stuart. I've never seen us at a crossroads to where it's not just one road veering off from here. There's numerous roads. Now, which one will we go down? I do not know.
Yeah, it does seem like the rich men have two choices when it comes to Trump. It's possible he's one of them, and that, you know, that ne'er-do-well erstwhile Sorcher Fall talks about Trump being a high-level Mason, and what's really going on behind the scenes is a Masonic war, sort of like the East versus the West type of war.
A ruler against ruler. Ruler against ruler.
And, you know, we do know from the prophecies that the Lord fills America with fifth column military people. And that's about done. And I think that's why the borders are wide open. I don't think it has anything to do necessarily with an election. I think he is bent on toppling the country. And once that's accomplished, and you know from Dmitry Dudeman and really from the prophecies against the United States, that when America goes down, it goes down relatively quickly. So my point, I guess, is because he's standing against everything they stand for, immigration reform. He vowed to change tax policies that would create job growth. And, of course, that's very opposite of what their New World Order is doing. He promises to repeal and replace Obamacare, fix the TSA. All of that, this is all anti-establishment, anti-New World Order. He wants to transform and reform the entire system of factories in the United States. He wants to fundamentally reform America's schools, bring back law and order. Oh, of course, some of them are calling him a Nazi, you know, because he wants to do all this stuff. But, you know, he is absolutely coming out totally against the New World Order, boys and girls. So,
go ahead. A factor, a clue to what you're just talking about, if you will look at who is against him, you find that Romney's still against him. He wouldn't even come to the convention. All the Bushes refused to attend the convention and honor their word. And so you've got New World Order heads that have been presidents before that are against him. So this really is, it's an unusual ruler against ruler. You know, I look at I know a lot of people say, well, he's right in there, he's just doing what the New World Order has him doing. Yeah, but sometimes there's a double cross occurs. Sometimes there's double crosses happen. You know, Netanyahu did that, and Netanyahu a number of times has went against the New World Order and protected his people, and he wasn't supposed to, but he did it, and they tried to kill him a few times. You know, he's had assassination attempts against him. And even Obama, especially, you know, Bill Clinton was really against Netanyahu and tried to bring him down, the first government he had. And then Obama's worked almost 8 solid years trying to take him out. And so when you see that, you know that there's whoever this is, whether it's Netanyahu or maybe even Trump, they're not following the agenda exactly like they're supposed to.
Yeah, sort of like Putin. He kind of does what he wants.
Hey, I wanted to bring something up, too.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw the data. There's a new report out the last few days that there was a CIA base in Syria that was a joint U.S.-British spy base, and Russia located ISIS there on that base. And Russia dropped a cluster bomb on that U.S.-British spy base that had ISIS inside it and killed them. Now, isn't that interesting? Right there in Syria.
Well, yeah. Have you heard any more about the Turkey situation? Because this kind of dovetails into the probable, I think, hot ignition, of World War III. I think we've been in World War III for a while. It's just in fits and starts. But it feels kind of like that Norwegian prophet, I keep forgetting his name, but didn't he say that the Soviets, and I use that term because I think they're still around, do a Blitzkrieg attack and go right across Europe? If I recall
That was Tom Clancy had that data, but... you asked me about the situation in Turkey with the NATO base there, Erkilek. They turned Erdogan has backed off of that a little, and they've turned the water and power back on, and that base is operating again, I suppose, at the moment under NATO. And we don't know what exactly caused that, but some of the intel we were reading earlier in the week possibly caused him to make that decision, but it appears they're going to release that base back to NATO usage, and But you don't know. I mean, you don't know that. But they've turned the power back on, and I know it's kind of interesting. Obama was on today talking, and he was talking about all the internet rumors and lies that were going out on the internet right now. You know, involving the Turkish coup and the all the other. And then the news comes out from mainstream media after he made that talk that was just all rumors, and it says that Erdogan turned the power back on at the base, you know, the NATO base in Turkey. And I thought, well, if they turned it back on, that must have meant that wasn't a big lie after all, that they'd turned it off.
Yeah, you don't have to turn on something that's already on. But I believe that we got some stuff out of DEPCA and Sorcerer Fall, regardless of who they get their information from, and I have my suspicions about them. But more often than not, if you check out the links and everything provided in their news articles, you'll find that it's verified elsewhere. And there's something more to this Turkey Erdogan coup attempt than what we'll probably ever know. Any more news on the Armada from NATO coming
not at
in
the
on
moment.
The Black
That's
Sea?
Totally quiet at the moment. However, it appears that Putin is doing a lot. This is what's interesting. You know, he came out with those warnings, and I wanted to mention this about the elections. You remember Putin basically said, you know, it appears that we're going to war and the American people don't have any idea. You know, they just can't wake up and see it. And he said if Hillary Clinton gets to be president, he said we are going to war. And I suppose that meant also if Obama stayed in the presidency, they were going to war. And possibly the only delay that might delay the war would be a Trump presidency. That might delay it. However, you know as well as I do, but it appears from the data that I'm seeing, a lot of activity is going on inside Russia right now with war preparations. So Russia's in full, getting ready to go to war prep. And by the way, you know, we released that information that Russian submarines had begun to leave some of their berths. And now they're reporting that Russia has now increased submarine activity in the Pacific. And so, you know, they already had them in the Atlantic. Now we've got more Russian subs in the Pacific. And, you know, this is just growing. I mean, this is just growing. And I don't know. I don't have any more data right now on the that NATO armada, you know, either in the Black Sea or the Med. But we know Russia's in both of those locations. And like I say, something interesting is going on in the Middle East. There appears to be a war about to start. Now, where it's going to start and which way it goes, I just don't know. But this Syria thing is getting more serious by the day. And
well, then we have North Korea, and they had a bunch of low-yield bomb tests. And everybody said, well, see, they're just not doing the job right, and that's why it's low yield. And the experts in EMP building said, if you want a bomb that's an electromagnetic pulse bomb, you do definitely want a low yield weapon. Now, I'm not exactly sure why that's true. I'm sure the scientists know why it's true. And we do have the the North Korean satellites that comes up through from south to north. And I think it comes over America, what, about every day, maybe twice a day?
If they have something placed inside that satellite, all they'd have to do is detonate it when it was over America. And that wouldn't be that difficult to figure out.
Yeah, that is our Achilles heel, everybody out there listening. If they can cut the electricity, the American people are toast. And I cannot conceive if you wanted to take America out just as a military strategist, why would you not want to dump the electrical grid, first of all, cut your communications, second, and the whole nation would go into chaos. And then if you add in Spetsnaz troops with little suitcase presents scattered, I'm sure, here and there and everywhere, the Bible talks about mischief in the cities, so you have your fifth column rise up and cause mischief everywhere. America goes down. You know, it's in the prophecies. We are the first nation to go down before anybody else goes down. They have to bring America down because we are the one obstacle, and Trump is now the main obstacle to bring America down. So, you know, these guys, here's a little headline. Since Trump plans would dismantle 100 years of steady movement towards the New World Order, does Trump have to worry about assassin's bullet or a poisonous cup? Now, we saw what happened to Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King, President John Kennedy, and Robert Kennedy, for that matter. Seems like they were all assassinated by this secret elite. So, yeah, we're on the brink of something. I can just feel it in the air, and I think other people can too, that there's something going on and nobody really knows what it is. And unfortunately, so many people don't read the Bible or believe the prophecies of it. You know, another prophecy I was thinking about was the one about we would have healed Babylon America, but she would not be healed. Now, we had Ron Paul, who is a physician, and physicians heal, and the American people didn't want anything to do with him. Then we had Carson, Ben Carson. Nobody wants anything to do with him. And now we have Trump, who could heal America. But most of the people that I'm listening to or reading about think that Donald Trump's really got a big uphill battle against Hillary Clinton. And then you keep thinking of the prophecy of the woman rides the beast, and America is one of the beast powers. So if you're right about Obama wanting the UN, and I think he would take it, I don't think there's any question there, wow, we would have Hillary.
Well, let me ask you something. Yeah, let me ask you something, Stuart. Just get your mind working on this for a moment. If we look at, you know, if someone wanted to hit, do a false flag or do a strike against a big event in the U.S., and, you know, most of those people that do want to do that want to do it and use, they always want some kind of symbolism attached, historical, to a country when they hit a certain location, like the Eiffel Tower, you know, in France, of course, in Paris.
Yes. But, did you see the pictures, the way, of that Eiffel Tower on fire?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it never got reported.
Oh, I know. But let me ask you this question, though. I was thinking, you know, really the threats that, you know, we were all prepared for major threats against the GOP convention this week. I mean, everybody was just on edge, just waiting for something to happen just any moment almost. And a lot of rhetoric was up that never panned out. And, you know, I got to thinking, well, if you want a strike and to be symbolic, then it seems to me that Philadelphia would be a better location than Cleveland symbolically.
Yes, it would. Absolutely.
So I'm going to really be watching next week at the Democratic convention, because that's the one nobody thinks will be in trouble or have a problem. Could that actually be the scene of a real situation? You know, I don't know. You know, when nothing happened at this one like I was worried about, I thought, well, maybe we were so wrong to think even any of these conventions are going to have a problem. But then I thought, well, I don't know, symbolically, Philadelphia would be a target because that's the way they think, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I don't know.
There's two
ways to look at that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say we'll just have to wait and see. But it's kind of interesting that almost everybody basically now has stopped warning about the conventions, and they're not even concerned about the Democratic convention. They're just ready to go have it, and no big deal. And I'm thinking, well, we could be wrong. We could have been off, and the GOP convention wasn't the target. If there is an event at the Democratic convention, though, of any kind, we will know because probably it'll cause consternation nationwide and martial law or something, certainly between now and November. But I will be shocked personally if we do have an election in November.
Yeah, I would be too. I think when you look at the prophetic word about the importing of a fifth column of a fifth column's military operation, where you just invade the country, but you invade as civilians crossing over, and they take up residence in all the towns and cities across the United States, but they are in reality a military operation that rises up when the call is given, mischief in the cities, as Isaiah turns it. So the question you have is, would you give any warning whatever, or would you just simply strike out of the blue? In other words, they say if you wanna nail somebody or do them in, you become their best friend. You hold your enemies close. So it does make you wonder which way this is going to go. There may be no warning. They may not do anything at the Democratic convention, and then out of the blue, a whole series of events. There's no question they are cranking up globally. We are watching the Masonic motto, order out of chaos. So we're watching the beginning of the chaos in order to bring in the new world order. So America definitely has got to get hit by, we don't know, maybe economic collapse, EMP, whatever. We just don't know what it is, but I got a feeling shortly we're going to be finding out, maybe, do you think?
we're in a real time. Something that was interesting too, I mentioned to you the other day. Let me see if I can find it here. Rabbi Mattieu Glazerson, the Rabbi Glazerson,
yes,
does the Torah codes. He found a very interesting message, and it said that God will inform with the word message the world August 15, 2016, on something connected with building the third temple for Messiah, according to this Bible code you found. Now, the interesting thing is, the dates are always different in the Hebrew. So the temple code, so-called 15th of Av on the Hebrew calendar, actually is not the 15th. It will be August 19, 2016. So he found a Torah code, and if you go by the Hebrew dating of it, August 19th, 2016, there will be, some type of heavenly message to the world. Now, I know that sounds bizarre. Some people think I'm a little bit nuts there, but kind of interesting.
Not necessarily.
Just 18th
and 19th, Larry, is Tu B'Av.
Oh.
And Tu B'Av is the love feast. It's a little known feast day, but it likens, of all the feast days listed, Tu B'Av has more rapture of the bride of Christ written on it than any other feast day, actually. Because Tu B'Av is when the Jewish maidens put on their white dresses, and they go out and they dance, and the Israeli males pick out their wives. Well, isn't that what Jesus does?
Yeah.
Doesn't he select his bride? I suppose, you know, you could get in. So that's kind of interesting that Glazerson has found a code that could, well, I mean, even if very few people actually left, it would be around the world a momentous event. And if the entire church went, that would definitely be a major
That would be a pretty stark message to the world, wouldn't it?
It sure would. And, you know, what's very interesting also is that, you remember 9/23, 2015, when Obama and the Pope shook hands and everybody was expecting, you know, some major event to occur? Well, that was a major event. And, in fact, it was probably one of the most prophetic events to occur since the Lord left because of its significance. Well, it just so happens, remember where Daniel said, you have, blessed is he that waiteth until the 1335th day. Guess where that is from 9/23? August 17th
really?
Or 18th.
Wow.
Yeah. That doesn't necessarily mean anything. I mean, we've had the numbers before, and everybody just sails right by, but we are getting close. Everything is going wrong. It can go wrong, basically. And if the rich men don't want Trump, getting back to Trump, all they got to do is pull the economic plug.
If
we had an economic collapse, all Obama has to do is declare an emergency. Because if you had a genuine economic collapse, all your so-called, what do you call them, entitlements would stop.
Uh-huh.
Food stamps would stop. Everything basically would stop. And wasn't it David Wilkinson who said that there was a six-month banking holiday? And
I think
he said,
so.
when you see Mexico throw in the towel and declare kind of bankruptcy, is whatever they call it when it's nations. He said you had 2 weeks. You had 2 weeks to get your money out of the bank because there was going to be a six-month banking holiday. And it's interesting to me also that Noise of Phoenix Rising, that ne'er-do-well erstwhile shaman lady who nobody wants to believe, also said that there was going to be an economic collapse, and wherever you were, that's where you were going to be.
Yeah.
So, and we could be on the cusp of something major. You wanted to talk about Watchers. You've seen the movie Watchers. I have not. You want to give us a rundown on briefly on what that is? Watchers 10.
And maybe we can get Richard or L.A. on before long and get them to explain some of the data. But what's interesting, one of the things, and I had posted a picture of it, was this little entity that they had found in Mexico that actually is a skeleton with skin on it. And they found it, and it has wings. It's a humanoid-like figure. It has wings, and it also, when they really got to look at it, has a tail with a stinger on the end, of all things. And now they're going to run DNA. They haven't done that yet on it. However, I thought of the Abyss, and those creatures that sting people, out of that.
Revelation 8 or 9, I think it is. Yeah.
But anyway, I was going to mention Watchers 10 is absolutely incredible because you've seen the trailer. For so long, you and I have talked about the Nephilim, the Nephilim, and we've talked about the giants and their bones they've been digging up that's disappeared for years and years, and we're still looking at people burying them, uncovering them, unburying them. And bringing out the big bones, like Klaus Dohna, he has found the big bones and had them classified as such. But now we have giants, records of giants and witnesses of giants that are alive and with,
you know, the skin's on the bones and they're alive and, you know, they're cannibalistic. And, you know, we got real Nephilim now. And I'm just thinking, where's people's minds going to go? You know, they were always, it was okay if we dug up an old bone and said, I wonder if that was a giant. But now, if there's real giants really here, I'm thinking, boy, that's going to really be hard for people to wrap their minds around. One of the interesting things about the DNA, though,
mm-hmm.
they actually did some testing. The DNA is not Adamic or what we would call human. The DNA with the giants and also the what they call the elongated skull people that they found.
Yes.
And the DNA of what they called hybrids. See, they've collected some DNA off of hybrid women that they have found, too. And all of it is Nephilim-type DNA. It's different from humanoid. It's humanoid, but it's not human. It's not Adamic race. It's a other than Adamic race creation. So it really throws us back before the flood. I mean, seriously.
Okay, so the DNA of that little tiny creature that they found, that was a hybrid DNA too, was it not? Not the one with the wings and the stinger on the tail, but there was another one that they found.
Oh, okay, that's right. Yeah, the hybrid, but also a hybrid woman. They had a hybrid woman that claimed she was a hybrid, and they ran her DNA, and it fit or matched the Nephilim DNA, not Adamic, you know. Wasn't human, as they would say.
Well, you know what's interesting? Some kid, I guess, found that little creature with the wings. It's humanoid, very humanoid, actually. And the stinger on the back of his tail on the side of the road. But he said that to him, it had probably just been hit by a car or something when he brought it
in. From the size of it, you would look at it and you would think, it reminds you of a, you know how sometimes really big grasshoppers or bugs will hit the windshield or something on your car?
Yes. Yes. So
that could be how, you know, what happened to it. But it was, this wasn't no grasshopper. I mean, you can look closely at this. They even x-rayed it. This is a humanoid skeleton. This is not grasshopper, big bug, any of that stuff.
Yeah, this is, well, I think, you know, all this stuff is going to come out in the open. And as you said, what are the American people going to do? What are they going to do when they're face to face with some of this stuff? And it's going to be horrendous. It's like the prayer in Isaiah of let not the giants live again. Well, in order for the giants to live again, there have to be giants somewhere who were held in stasis. And wasn't that a Russian scientist who went to the Himalayas, and isn't that where they're being held, or at least that's one of the places they're being held?
Yeah, that
and these
was,
are the real
Ernst,
big guys, aren't they?
Yeah, that was Ernst Muldashev. That's his name. He was a real good close friend of Klaus Dohna, and Klaus Dohna introduced me to him, and I emailed him some in Russia. He's down in Russia, and he's the one that actually found the Syrian graveyards of the giant skeletons. And he also took pictures, remember, of the feet that I showed you, the Nephilim feet in concrete-like stuff, you know? He got those pictures out of Syria. And at the same time, he went under the Himalayas. And, you know, he said there's a number of regions around the world, deep underground caverns, that creatures, he says, and he puts it like this. He says, they're not alive. But they're not dead.
Not
either.
They're not dead.
And he says they're in some kind of suspended animation type status, and that they will all awaken and will come out. And you know, now how long they've been there, I don't know. But he says they're giants. And he said one of the interesting things about them, he says he was taken by some of the monks that oversee this area. They took him down, and he said you could feel. He said you could literally feel, and I'll put it this way, paranormal or supernatural feeling there was a feeling, even as he would go down to the area where they were, you couldn't get too close. You would have a human being's brain would hemorrhage. You would literally die. You couldn't come into the presence of them. You could only get close enough where you could see them at a distance, or you would literally, and said a lot of people had died going in there trying to look, that they had strokes, many strokes. Their brains went out on them, and he said that he almost died. But he said they're in underground caverns, and he said he don't know who they are, but they're giants, and he said they're not dead. They're not alive right now, but they're not dead either. And he was one of the main ones, and I'll tell you what, he wrote a book or two on that that came out in German or Russian, and he's quieted down, though. The powers that be pretty well put a clamp down on his data. They didn't want it out. That's some of that hidden stuff that we're not supposed to know about.
Well, you know, they can hide this stuff only so long. It's kind of like the Destroyer or, you know, the Planet of the Crossing or Nemesis or whatever you want to call it. They're definitely inbound. And, you know, they can keep all of this fairly quiet. They can, you know, fun at everybody who believes in that. Well, you're just nuts. You're paranoid, blah, 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 blah. And that does sort of soothe the minds of the vast majority of people, because I think a lot of this information disturbs their comfort zone. One thing to go into a movie and watch Sigourney Weaver battle an alien on this far-off planet. Quite another if they were to walk out the door and run it right into that alien.
Well, have you heard the latest on the Planet Nine? Yeah. Have you heard the latest news on that?
Well, I know they're talking about it. Now, obviously, Planet Nine is the Destroyer. Go ahead.
Yeah, the latest report that came out in the mainstream news on that is NASA is saying that Planet Nine is so heavy a planet that it actually has caused the tilt of our solar system, that our solar system is tilted because of that planet. Now, it's interesting to say they hadn't found it yet. They say it's out there, and its name is Planet Nine, but it's tilting our solar system.
And this is coming right direct out from the mainstream. Well, see, they're going to have to, in some manner or other, start preparing the people for them to actually look up into the sky and see it. But it is interesting. Didn't somebody say also that Saturn's ring suddenly took a tilt the wrong way or something?
There's a lot of strange stuff happening on Jupiter, with that planet also. I mean, all of our solar system planets are being disturbed. You know, not only is their gravity being disturbed, their moons are being disturbed. The trajectory, the spins of the planets, even a lot of them are becoming excited, if you know what I'm saying, planetary excitement. Mm-hmm. In other words, the atmospheres and things, they're seeing things they've never seen on these planets. They're getting brighter, some of them. So, you know, and of course, you and I, we look at the Destroyer and we say, well, that's not hard to understand, you know, but then those that are you know, hiding all of this, they're having to actually come out with some type of explanation for all of these strange anomalies that's occurring in the solar system.
Yeah, and, you know, they could do it maybe for a little while, but then sooner or later. Getting back to the Watchers, what else do they cover? Did they cover that military operation over in Afghanistan at all with the giant?
Absolutely, and they did a really, really good job. They had George Noori on with them, and they had two military personnel that were eyewitnesses to this giant. One of them was the eyewitness to the killing of it, and the other was a witness that he flew it out of Afghanistan to a secret base, and this thing was huge, absolutely huge. They were shooting it, and you and I know calibers. They were using like 308 rounds and 50 caliber rounds. They couldn't drop it. until they shot it in the head, like, and it reminds you of David's sling. Until it hit it in the head, they couldn't drop it.
Yeah. So, obviously, they're going to cover this up because they don't want proof of giants, because that proves Genesis 6. That has a tendency to prove maybe the Bible's right. And they don't want that out. Can't bring in a new world order that's anti-Bible and have the Bible proven to be true. And you
exactly.
Can't have that. So did this giant, did they get into the killing of the troops?
Oh, yeah. They told, the reason the military actually went there was they had a military patrol, a group of U.S. Troops go into this area where this giant was, and he killed all of them. And the only reason they actually found him was they began to look for signs of the missing troops, and they thought the Taliban had ambushed them and killed them because they just simply lost contact immediately. And when they actually got to the location they had last known to be, the U.S. troops, they found their uniforms and pieces of it torn all to pieces, and something had eaten them, had killed them and eaten them. And, I mean, you know, I know that sounds gross, but that's realistic. You and I both have had dreams of giants hunting us, you know. But anyway,
yep.
This thing came out of that cave. It was a cavern. They did not go in after anything else after it came out and attacked them, killed one of them there and hurt some more. And as I say, they were black. You know, you hit things with 50 caliber 308, man, you are doing a job. And they could not drop it. They said it was taking the hits and it wasn't bringing it down. And they shot for the head. One of them yelled, "Shoot high, shoot high!" And they shot him in the top of the head and killed him. And they said he stunk. And it reminds me of what we call Sasquatch a little bit. They said his odor was like a skunk. It was horrible. The odor was incredible, you know. And even the ones that flew him out, you know, they lifted him out with helicopters and flew him to a base to fly him out on one of these C-130s. And they said that odor was just, it stayed with the body. And anyway, they go into it. And I would tell everybody, and maybe we can get Richard in L.A. later on to talk about this now, but George Nuri actually had witnesses, and he was involved in the investigation of this thing, and they pretty well proved it out and with eyewitness accounts. And I'll tell you what, that Watchers 10 is really, really good. It brings out excellent points of where we all seem to be going. We're finding, you know, finally, after a long, long time, there's literally proof out there now. Now, I don't think the American people want to hear it. I don't think they want to even see it. But I tell people that even care, get that Watchers 10 and watch it and have the data, because this is real stuff. This is not just some made-up hope.
Well, we're going to be facing this stuff. I mean, Red Elk said that, you know, these things were going to come out. And are they the same thing as the Long Walkers?
I would say it's possible. You know, I thought about, as a matter of fact, there's some posts recently. They dug up a body, giant's body in Washington State, a few years ago, I guess. And I saw that the other day, and they called it a Bigfoot or whatever. You know, I'm not too sure that, you know, I know Red Elk, remember he said that there were different kind of Bigfoots? There were some that were even paranormal or dimensional.
Yes.
And of course we don't know anything about that, but it seems like some of these are different, but giants are giants. I mean, and you remember Barry Chamish's book, Return of the Giants, that man, they almost destroyed him after he wrote that book about the giants returning in saucer craft, you know, flying saucers to Israel when they began to come back. And he had the data. I mean, he really did an investigation. I've got a copy of that, and I think you do too. I can't remember if you got it or not, but
Picture. Yeah, and then you got that picture of one in a space shuttle.
Oh yeah,
that was
taken. Clearly standing up in the space shuttle. Absolutely, you know.
I thought. Okay, one more thing before we get to close. Pokemon. Are the American people insane? I mean, they're falling for this thing in droves, this Pokemon Go or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's absolutely I'll tell you what, Stuart, it sounds like to me it may be the new or the brand new Ouija, the Pokemon Go, instead of the Ouija board. And let me read these two articles real quick. I'll do it real fast here. I've been looking into this for some time, and I can talk more about it, but I'm not going to mention too much right now. Rick Wiles recently came out with his report from some witnesses on Pokemon Go and says it may invite demons into your church. He says pastors have become suspicious of these Pokemon gamers that are coming into their church and working this Pokemon Go while they're listening to the sermon, and says they're beginning to have problems within the church, spiritual situations and problems arising. And Wild says that Pokemon Go may be a magnet for demonic powers. Satan may be targeting Christian churches with Pokemon demonic activity. Now, with that said, let me read you what Debkafile, now of all things, Debkafile in Israel, when they come out with something, usually I'll really look twice. Let me read the headline here. It says, this is Debkafile, Pokemon Go, super spy and potential terror tool. This tool can possibly lure masses of players into a trap laid by terrorists for slaughter. Can you imagine?
Wow. Well, if it's run by satellite, what a perfect tool.
Yeah.
I guess my main question is what's gone wrong with the American people that they are, this thing is just taking off by the millions.
Oh, I know. Like I say, Jared, it reminds me of the old Ouija board. You remember when years and years ago, people went wild over Ouija boards?
Yes.
I mean, they even started, you know, when they began to make them commercially, and people are buying them like crazy. You know, we tried to warn them back then. But this seems to be Ouija board number two, called Pokemon Go app, and this thing could lead to people not only losing their spiritual life, but also, you know, demonic possession and literal being lured into a terrorist trap and slaughtered, literally.
Now, is this more or less the warning of Debka? What was their warning again?
Debkafile says that Pokemon Go is a super spy and potential terror tool. This is a tool that can possibly lure masses of players into one location, a trap laid by the terrorists.
It's what I thought you said. I just wanted to have you repeat that because I think the people out there need to hear it. You know, we're bordering now on a form of mind control and demonic possession. I mean, demons can, I know people don't believe this, but demons can attach themselves to many different things. And if you bring them into your house, for example, and you don't do a cleansing, you can be in a lot of trouble. Anybody that's dealt with demonology and dealt with literal demons will tell you some hairy tales. I know you have, Larry, and I have too, dealt with them, and they're very real. I don't understand them. I don't see how it works. They're ethereal. They don't have any body, and yet they're extremely intelligent entities. We can't figure that one out. Without a brain or physical brain, how do they work? You know? Any final comment
actually,
before we close?
Yeah, I was just going to mention, like you're talking about right there, what Pokemon Go can actually be is a doorway for them to go for these entities, these spirits to move through. Pokemon Go is a doorway, and what people don't understand about that, I don't have a clue because you and I have studied this stuff, we've encountered this stuff, and it is real.
I know, but it's hard to convince people it's real. Okay, how can they reach you, Larry?
Sure, Stuart. The easiest way is just follow my blog. I'm steady at it. It's LarryWTaylor.org. That's LarryWTaylor.org.
Yeah. Well, America's a war zone now, folks. We have that executive order for the protection of people during warfare. So get ready. Something is coming. We just don't know what it is. Anyway, I guess we have to close out for the night. And thanks for everybody listening, and we'll see you again.